Sahanavavatu, Sahanau Bhunaktu, Sahavaryankaravavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 31, Additional Symptoms, Verse 2, 4, 256, page 22. Because of the variety of causes and other elements and differences in the devotees, there's a great diversity in every one of the bhavas, right? So you have the bhavas themselves, but you're going to have a variety of causes, the elements that are there, the different devotees. So you, in this way, you're going to get, you know, a huge diversity of how any one bhava is manifested, like that. So this is just a science, so you get some idea, like that. 2.4.257. There's a variety of minds of the various types of devotees. Devotees in Shanta, Dasya, etc. So the same things in these different rasas will have different manifestations. Okay? And then you're going to have those in the different realms. Right? So they may be in Vaikuntha, they may be in Dwarka or Ayodhya or in Vrindavan. So, like this.
Kumar, can we say that there is no, everybody's individual, there is no example of two same bhava, two same...
Well, same manifestation means the elements that you're working with are the same. You know, it's just like, let's say, when you have a big program in the temple, like Janmashtami or something, and all the devotees cook. Yes. So many times, when you're arranging things, you'll see there may be four or five of the same preparation.
Yes.
But each one will be a different flavor, how it looks, how it's this and that. It's just... So there's always going to be the uniqueness. That's the whole point. What's the point of the energies if they're not unique? Why manifest if they're all the same? Right? So in other words, the how you say, manifestation of the tiki-taki in San Francisco, that's a you could say, a distortion of the original form of variety. Does that make sense? No? No? Tiki Taki? San Francisco? We know San Francisco.
Yes.
Okay, San Francisco. You ever see it's got all the hills. Mm-hmm. But if you notice all the houses on them, they're all exactly the same.
Yes.
So it's the same. They're row houses, and they build them all the same. Mm-hmm. You know, in other places they do it also, but here there'll be some row houses, there some row houses, there everything is row houses in the older sections. And that. And so then that's one of the slangs of that's called tiki-taki. It's just all the same. You know, it's like, what do you call it? The sound of blues?
Yeah.
You know, you, Moscow, you go to, you know, Lenin Street, you know, number 3, apartment 10. If you go to St. Petersburg, it will exactly be in the same place, same everything. In fact, the key is the exact same for the door, how the apartment's set up. It's all exactly the same. No?
No?
Sound of Blues. Or also, I think it's Something of Fate.
No. It is with Sound of Fate.
Yeah. Funny. Well, here it's just called the Sound of Blues.
Interesting how they translate.
Yeah. These things, how do you translate them?
Yeah, because it's Bob. It's Russian Bob.
Yeah. It's Bob. It's all about Bob, yeah. So he went from one obscure example to another that no one knows what we're talking about.
No,
okay.
The second one we understood.
The second one, yeah. But you have to be from that background.
Yeah. I was more on board with the first one.
and you had to watch the movie. You had to watch that movie.
Yeah, no, that's of course. It's what it's called. That's the New Year's movie. No. So you're going to have the variety that's there everywhere, because the energy is there. Swarup Shakti has all. Swarup Shakti is non-different from Krishna. And as Krishna has the three features, then the Swarup Shakti has three features. And then within that, then everything's broken down like this. And so any expansion is unique, because otherwise, if exactly the same, what's the meaning of an expanding? Right? So even we see in the Vaikuntha that you have the 24 Vishnus, but the 24 names, they all have a different flavor. Right? And, so the idea is that all the manifestations of the internal potency, all the jivas, everyone is unique. And so therefore the particular manifestation is going to have some unique aspect. But it's still within the same categories. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. That's why you can identify it according to the science given by Rupa Goswami.
Yeah.
But he's pointing out is that you're studying what's there, then its manifestation is not going to be textbook as such.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be according to the rules, but it'll have the uniqueness, because as we saw, you have all these different realms, right? Then within the realms you have the different, rasas that are going to be different on the different realms. Then you're going to have the aspect of within those rasas, then where they're placed and everything. Then you're going to have, within that you have the stai bhav, you have the vibhavas, the anubhavas, the sattvika bhavas, the vyavichari bhavas, right? And so then all of those, and then you have the intensity, how deep they are, how strong they are, all these things. So like that, you're going to end up with unlimited variety. So, yeah. There's a variety of minds of the various types of devotees in Shanta, Dasya, etc. In accordance with the variety of minds, there are also various gradations of the appearance of the bhavas, because of various natures such as Garishta, Srila Jiva Goswami. There are various minds of the devotees who have varieties of moods as Shanta, Dasya, etc. The causes of gradation of bhavas, even in persons possessing one rati, such as Dasa, are the particular qualities of the individual mind, such as Garishta, which are described in the following verses. Okay, so it's going to be described. And Garishta is?
Garishta is more intense.
More intense. Okay, the intensity.
Heavy.
Okay.
All right, so when we hear this very detailed description, is it to recognize bhavas in ourselves or in others?
Both. It doesn't. It's to appreciate the relationships that Krishna has with the devotees and the tastes that are going on, because rasa is itself is then it's that highest element of what's being tasted, because knowledge goes up to a point, but it's the taste in that. So this is so that you understand what you're working with, but it's still the taste that comes in it that's the important aspect. But unless without the knowledge, you may not be noticing the taste, or may not be identifying or distinguishing. So it works in any of these. That's the nice thing about it. It being this science is universal. You can use it on any platform. But it's specifically that if we're appreciating, then you can notice in yourself, just like. Probably gives the example in seeing yourself in the mirror. When the sun comes up, you can see yourself in the mirror. So understanding Krishna, then self-realization is simultaneous. Right? It's not a separate aspect. So understanding Krishna, then you can understand yourself. Right? And in attempting to understand yourself, you're always trying to see it in the context of Krishna. So it all goes together. So it's not one or the other. Or is that therefore then we have to cultivate? No, these things come up as they are. It's just like, let's say, you know, discussing the other day, is that in the chanting process, then, you know, you'll get the question, oh, so should we remember the pastimes? Should we do this? Should we do that? Or, you know, different things. But the point is the name is Krishna. So when we say name, form, qualities, pastimes, that we're talking then technically about your realization of Krishna as the name. Right? So if you hear, then you're accepting him as the name. You hear nicely. We're chanting the name, we're hearing the name. And then with time, as one becomes purified, as one advances, then the name is the form. So this idea that I have to meditate upon Krishna's pastimes, then that means that the meditation is separate from Krishna. It's about Krishna, but it just be just like, let's say, you're with a friend and you're interacting, you know, you're talking and all that. But while that's going on, you're thinking about some activity that you're going to do with the friend that would be very nice. You know what I'm saying? Even though it's about the friend, it's still, you're not paying attention to the friend who, you know, in real time, who's there. Does that make sense? So, yes, better to be thinking about Krishna's pastimes than something else. You know? But the point is that that's why it's not an artificial aspect. It's about your chanting and the name is Krishna. And Krishna does have he does have a form, he does have qualities, he does have pastimes. So if the name means that to you, it'll mean that. You know, it's just like you've never seen a person, but you've heard about him. So if I say the name, you recognize the name. But if you've seen the person, I say the name, you see a form. Right? You've kind of like seen a little bit, not so much that, but kind of observed their mood and their attitude. So when I say the name, that brings up qualities. But if you've interacted or things like this, then when I say the name, it means the pastimes. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that the chanting, it's not an art. That's why the emphasis is on hearing. And the hearing's good. Some people will take it, oh, because that's the beginning, so then I have to get to the advanced point. But Rupa Goswami is saying just by chanting the holy name, hearing, he wants to have millions of ears. You know, and because Krishna is dancing on the tongue, he wants to have millions of tongues. So just the chanting is so nice, and then the hearing is so nice, and then, you know, all the further part of the qualities, the pastimes, and that, then he's saying that, and that conquers the heart. So it's not as such a separate thing. That's what I was saying, is the spontaneous platform, it's not based on rules. It's happening. It's being experienced in real time. Does that make sense? It's not that I have to do this. That's why this thing of advanced devotional service, I'm doing this, I'm meditating on this, I'm doing this, I know these pastimes, I know these technical details. But that's all just sambandha gyan. Right? Unless it's applied in practical devotional service, then how will you taste it? The taste of that, that's what's prayojana. That you know these things, that's nice. It's just more ways to keep the mind busy. So you could say you're more advanced in sambandha gyan. But you can't say that because of that, and because it's about Krishna and the gopis, that therefore it's on an advanced platform in the way of Abhideya or Prayojana. Does that make sense? Like that. You know. Especially if it generates pride. And so then how you'll get, just because you know, it's nice, it's pious, but it won't get the result that we're expecting or hoping to get. That's the difficulty. That's why the acharyas are putting the advantage here, just do, you know, that touch trinu, you just hear and be involved and understand and appreciate, because if we have that faith, it will develop into those other aspects. You know, and then whenever we have the opportunity in the association of devotees, we're hearing about, we hear the pastimes, we hear the kirtans, we hear all these different, you know, devotees' realizations. And that just all helps to cultivate that faith, because it's just a matter of faith. Does that make sense? Because one's always, therefore with the name, one's always with Krishna. And even if not, he's still sitting in the heart. Everyone's with Krishna. Everything is Krishna. It's just a matter of that faith. And then that it's all Krishna, non-different from Krishna, Krishna's everywhere. Okay, that establishes yourself in the path of Jnana and in the aspect of Shanta, appreciation. But then it's a matter of the faith that as a person you can interact. You know what I'm saying? And means giving up all other things. It means you don't care about other things. It's not that, you know, it's just like, you ever notice that the sahajiyas are only rolling on the ground and crying when they're on a stage? Right? They're not doing that on the regular every day. They're begging from you, expecting some money or this or that or some, you know, it's different.
I guess it's a part of the job.
Yeah, it's part of the job.
Just like the chilies up their noses.
Yes, yes. It's just part of the job. Yes.
So can we say on this level of study, we just learn about those things, and when it's going to happen, that we know what it is actually.
Yes, yes.
And then we're ready for that. I mean, we're never ready for that, but still we know what it's all about.
Yes. Then you appreciate it, because the point is, even if it's there, it's not even just a matter of knowing, right? It's a matter of appreciating how, by the association of the Vaishnavas, and Krishna, you know, with their blessings and Krishna's blessings, then we're able to appreciate this. So it has that personal aspect. So it goes beyond just knowledge. That's why someone's even they're a scholar in Rasa Tattva, but then do they taste it? It's just like a honeybee. It is going to be buzzing around the outside of the jar of honey, right? But if the jar is closed, how will they know? So the point is, it's only by that devotion itself. So just wanting to know, that's why the jigyasu, it's just wanting to know, or the jnani, just wanting to know about Krishna. But still, that's still the neophyte platform. It's about applying that and doing something, serving that. It's actual service. So that's why we've heard, you know, from the acharyas that by studying the scriptures, then it's not about the jnana, it's about the association. By us here, then we're associating with Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. We're associating with them. And it's by that association that therefore we're benefited. It's not that, oh, because I've memorized these things. Because memorization, okay, then that establishes, you know, that within the realm of sat, the basis. But the point is how you apply it. And how you and therefore the taste of that's not going to be gained through jnana. That's why scholars, it's not that that position makes them automatically advanced. You know, it's just like, let's say one person doesn't know any recipes and they don't know how to cook. Someone else knows 10 recipes and cannot cook. Another knows 100 recipes and cannot cook. Right, so we'll take it. The one with 100 recipes is more advanced, but none of them can cook. And the difficulty is the one that knows no recipes and can't cook. There's more chance you can teach them some cooking. But the one who knows 100 recipes, you won't be able to teach him to cook, because whatever you show him, it will be wrong by his perception, because he knows so many recipes. So it's the pride of a scholar that gets in the way. It's not the knowledge itself. We don't have a problem with knowledge. And we don't have a problem with someone being scholarly. We have a problem with the pride that comes from scholarship. How they actually think, I know everything, and therefore I'm advanced. And does that make sense? That's the difficulty. Yes.
Can we say it's the same with the other opulences?
Like yes, all of them, any of them. It's someone who's powerful. Like when we're complaining about making points about managers, it's not that management's a bad, it's a good thing. I mean, because you have to organize things. Things are organized and all that. Yoga Maya, that's what she does. She manages stuff. So it's not that. But it's the pride that comes and thinks that the managing that is the perfection, or the knowledge is the perfection, or the wealth is the perfection. I've got money, therefore everything. Therefore I should have comments on everything, know everything. Everyone should ask me because I'm providing all the money. But the point is money is, they're all necessary, but you have to apply it. You know, it's just like many people can make money, but few people know how to spend money. You know, they can actually buy something good and useful and appropriate. That's much harder to find. You know?
You'll always be poor no matter how much money you have.
Buy something stupid. Yes?
Maharaj, also we see the application of this in especially society like ours, where there's huge Vaishnava Sangha available.
Yes.
Then we, when we understand deeper, we don't categorize everybody into same box, and then advanced devotees,
because
of which we commit Vaishnava for others.
So you're saying that's one application of knowing this variety.
Yes. First level is you don't commit Vaishnava for us. Second level is we can take advantage of their association.
Yes.
Sometimes if we cannot connect to the Vaishnava, we cannot take any advantage.
Yes. Yeah. Is that also? Yeah, because then you can appreciate that there will be differences. There will be uniqueness like that. And so, yeah. So. 2.4.258. Even if these bhavas were to appear strongly in hearts, which are garishta, heavy, gambira, deep, mahishta, expansive, or karkasha, hard, in nature, ordinary people could not perceive the bhavas clearly, because there would be no external transformations of body or senses. Right? Because what's the difference between these? You won't know. Whether it's heavy, whether it's deep, whether it's expansive, whether it's hard. It means that itself doesn't have an external form. Like that. So right there you have these things, and then there's going to be these aspects. And then on top of that you have the intensity. Right? And so these are all, Srila Jiva Goswami. This verse begins with the description of the degrees of manifestation of the bhavas. Right? So then here we're seeing ears like that. When the bhavas arise even slightly in hearts, which are lagishta, light, utana, spread on the surface, kshodishta, small, and komala, soft, they can be recognized externally because of extreme transformations of the body and senses. Right? So when the light, you can see it. When it gets more serious, then you can't see it, because that's the point. It's heavy. It's deep. You can't. We're relating on a lighter platform or a more external platform. So they're happening internally. You won't see, but the external, then you'll see it, because it's happening. These manifestations are there in the body. Right? So, yeah. 2.4.260. The heavy heart is like a pile of gold. The light heart is like a pile of cotton wool. The bhavas act like wind in relation to these two types of heart, right? So now, does that make sense? So he's given that example of why the light ones and all that, it'll be more visible than the other. If I have a pile of gold and there's a breeze, what will happen? Nothing, right? But if I have a pile of cotton and there's a breeze, it moves. It's a light breeze, it moves. Right? Well, even you have a storm, you know, one of our nice, you know, Vaishak Bengali storms come along, and you have a pile of gold. It's not going anywhere. So that's the difficulties. You won't see. 2.4.261. The deep heart is like the ocean, and the shallow heart is like a pond. Okay, so here is heavy and light. Right? So how are you going to see the manifestations? Right? Now you have deep, right? Because remember we have heavy and light, right? Then gambira, then you have deep and spread on the surface. The deep heart is like the ocean, and the shallow heart is like a pond. Right? So these are just ways the hearts are manifest, right? The bhavas are like pinnacles of high mountains for these types of hearts. So the point is that if you have a deep ocean and you have a big mountain in the deep ocean, you still the mountain's unaffected and you don't see the mountain. But if you have a pond and you have a mountain sticking out of it, it's obvious.
The pond is not relevant anymore.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah. Srila Prabhupada. As one can detect the color of dye a cloth has soaked in by looking at the cloth, so, simply by understanding the different signs of these symptomatic features, one can understand the actual position. In other words, attachment for Krishna is one, but because there exists different kinds of devotees, such attachment is manifested in many varieties. As clothing tinged red appears red, so the temporary appearance of certain type of feeling can be detected or observed by the specific ecstatic symptom. In fact, all the different humors and mellows of the devotees produce various specific feelings within the mind. And according to these differences, the symptoms of ecstatic love appear in different forms and degrees. If one's heart is highly elevated, grave, and magnanimous, or if one's heart is rough and crude, different symptoms of ecstatic love will appear, influenced by the condition of the heart. Actually, people cannot generally understand such different qualities of mentality. But when one's heart is very soft and gentle, these symptoms become very easily visible, and one can understand them very clearly. The heart of one who is highly elevated and grave is compared to gold. If one's heart is very soft and gentle, his heart is compared to cotton swab. When there is an ecstatic sensation within the mind, the golden heart or grave heart is not agitated, but the soft heart immediately becomes agitated. Right? 26262. The expansive heart is like a city, and the small heart is like a hut. Bhava is like a lamp or an elephant for these two types of hearts. Right? So if you have a city and you have a lamp, it doesn't make, but if you have a hut, it makes something. Or an elephant in a city, you know, it's not a big deal, but an elephant in a hut, that's a problem. Right? You're going to see it. Right? Srila Prabhupada, to offer another example, a grave, magnanimous heart is compared to a great city and a soft heart to an insignificant cottage. There may be lights or even great elephants in the big city, but no one will take particular notice of them. But when such lights or elephants are seen near a small cottage, everyone can distinctly point them out. 24263. There are three different degrees of hardness, like a thunderbolt, gold, and lac. Bhava is like fire in relation to these three types of hard heart. 24264. The thunderbolt is extremely hard and never becomes soft. This hardness is seen in the hearts of those who perform severe austerities. Tapasadinam. Srila Jiva Goswami. Tapasadinam refers to immature devotees in Shanta mood. 24265. Gold becomes liquid from intense heating. By the very strong heat of bhava, the heart becomes soft. Lac becomes soft with very little heat. With a little bhava, this heart becomes soft. Srila Prabhupada. A hard heart is compared to a lightning bolt, to gold, and to shellac. The lightning bolt is very strong and never becomes soft. Similarly, the hearts of those who are engaged in severe austerities and penances do not become easily softened. The golden heart becomes melted at high temperature, as in ecstatic love, and the shellac heart is very easily melted in slight temperature. 24266. Softness is of 3 degrees, like beeswax, butter, and nectar. In relation to these, bhava is like the heat of the sun. Srila Jiva Goswami. Madana means beeswax. The list of words starting with lagu, light, followed by utana and kshodishta, is considered in relation to the words starting with garishta, heavy, followed by gambira and mahishta. Right, so you're comparing, you have two lists, one starting with heavy and one starting with light, and then you're comparing them. Right, there's four in the one, there's four in the other, and then so they're compared in their order. Right? So heavy with heavy, like, you know, heavy with light, you know, expansive with small, like this. In order to explain the cause of being externally undisturbed or disturbed by vyavichari bhavas. However, the use of the words karakasha, hard, and komala, soft, are used in order to explain the cause of solid or liquid nature, or degree of receptivity, of the heart in relation to the chief sthayi bhava in a person. Right? So we see is that even though generally they're shown how you're seeing the bhavas and all that, you're still also using hard and soft in comparison to if someone is seeing things connected to the Lord. It means they're austere, or what's the nature of the heart there? Does that make sense? So you're getting two different kinds of definitions with one definition. Like that. Right, okay. Yeah, so receptivity in the heart of a sthayi bhava, right? The word garishta indicates being unmoved by any object. Because of having a dense nature, thick-skinned individual, which allows little contact with objects. The word glagishta indicates being moved by any object, because of lack of dense nature, which allows quite a lot of contact with various stimuli. Samyag unmilanam, strongly appearing in verse 258. Means here, there is possibility the bhavas can appear strongly in garishta or karkasha hearts, but these are prevented from manifesting externally because of the garishta or karkasha hearts. Therefore, it will be explained in verse 269 that when the sthayi bhava becomes extremely prominent, then even the garishta heart becomes very agitated, and the transformations become externally visible. Right? When it becomes very, very strong. Right, but otherwise you're just showing it why you'll see sometimes something's manifest or not, like that. But it also can be applied to within the practices of religiosity, whether how far one's developed. So if therefore the austerities in these, then the heart becomes a little bit hard. So then you're not going to see these things so much. Right? You know, as he's saying, like in the Shanta Bhaktas, they're just so austere like that, because they only see things on the spiritual platform, so they're not, they don't deal with the basically so much with the mind and senses and all that. So you're not going to see these. But if they become extreme, you'll see them. Right? So it can indicate either one, the aspect of the advancement, but it can also indicate just the position of how you're situated yourself. So the shantas, you're going to see it less than in say someone else. Like that. Being deep, gambhira, means that there is no visible disturbance even by extensive contacts with objects, even with an object of powerful stimuli, because contact is not through, cannot penetrate the depth. Being spread on the surface, utana, is the opposite. There is visible disturbance by less extensive contacts with a less powerful object, because of thorough contact. But it means you have a pebble on the pond, then the contact with the surface is very thorough. So therefore you're going to see the ripples. Expansive, mahishta, means that though a person has extensive contact with the objects, and through contact with the object, with a similar suitable object, there's only a localized manifestation of disturbance. Right, because it's expansive, so only at a localized place will there be something come up, but it won't affect everything else. Does that make sense? If something's very expansive and there's something affecting a particular portion, it will only affect that portion, it won't affect the whole thing. Right? Because the thoroughness can only happen to that one place. That means only one or two senses are affected. Chodishta, small, means that just by slight contact with the object, there's complete manifestation of bhavas spontaneously. Because it's small, so then any contact is thorough. Right? Completely. In explaining the nature of utana, shallow, the analogy of the pond indicates that the emotions are at some depth, or still somewhat hidden. Whereas in explaining the nature of Shodishta, small, the analogy of the hut indicates there's nothing hidden at all. Right? So in the pond, it's a little bit hidden, but not as much as an osher. Thunderbolt, gold, and lac are used to explain the phenomena of becoming liquid, receptive to various degrees. The person hard like a thunderbolt is completely hostile to Krishna. The person who is hard like gold has equal amounts of hostility and affection for the Lord. The person who is hard like lac is affectionate with a slight degree of, slight tinge of hostility. On the other hand, beeswax, butter, and nectar indicate 3 degrees of softness in affection devotees, who are respectively immature, moderate, and advanced in their position, advanced in their devotion. The meaning here is that these degrees of hardness or softness will produce even more differences in the pairs of three, Garishta, Gambira, Manishta, Lagishta, Uttana, and Shodishta. So you're going to get, because you have these varying degrees of being open to Krishna, that's also therefore going to produce the various manifestations of all these other, these pairs of three, right? Does that make sense? So there's four in each, right, in the two lists. But what it is that the first one, the hardness and the softness, that's showing how much you're receptive to Krishna, right? And then the other three are then the positions within it. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay, so the heaviness, the deepness, and the expansiveness are the one, or the lightness, the spread on the surface and small. These are various ways that the heart of the devotee will manifest. But you're going to be exposed to those, or let's say affected by those, more or less, depending upon the first one in that one, heavy or soft, right? So then in that, I mean, excuse me, the hardness, karkasha, the hardness or the soft, right? So in the hard, then you have thunderbolt, then gold, and then lac. And then soft, then you have the beeswax, butter, and nectar. So one is that it's varying degrees of not interested in Krishna, kind of interested in Krishna, and a little bit more interested. But then the other is that then it will be your neophyte, your madhyama, your uttama. That kind of aspect. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
The word hot is used all the time. I wonder if the hot is used as an analogy to explain the condition of the soul. And if this, those descriptions of different ecstatic symptoms are what the soul is experiencing. Because when you talk about heart, people have the heart, it's just the center of the emotion.
Yes, but why? But what is the center of the emotion? Because it's not the muscle. It means that it's the consciousness, because that's the central point. Because if we just take it, have a heart and its emotions, but then is there intelligence used in these emotions? You know, and if there's intelligence used, then how much emotions are there? Then what about your identity? You know, someone can be very hard because they're very proud and all that. Have a heart, you know, you're trying to soften up. So we can see is that, but you have to be aware, you have to be conscious for any of these kind of three elements to be used as heart. So it's the consciousness with the samskaras, with the intelligence, with the identity, that combination, that's what is called heart. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, it would be just like karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga. That's buddhi yoga. Does that make sense? So when you take all those other four together, used together, that's heart. That's citta. Right? Yes. Because it has to be applied. You know, just like you have knowledge, but until it's applied, it doesn't become a science. Before that, it's just you're speculating and all that. It's only a science at application. So that makes sense. Like I have the knowledge to drive a car, but it only becomes a science when I apply it, because then you're seeing this does this, this does that, and all these different effects.
And coming back consciousness is symptoms of the
soul. Yes, because that's the symptom of the soul. Because the mind, intelligence, false ego, those are how you say? Those are applied on the soul, means not by its original position, but by the conditioned position. So the mind you have, the intelligence you have, the identity you have, that's just by your karma at this particular moment. But that the souls do have a mind, intelligence, false ego originally, that's indicated. Right? Does that make sense? But unless one understands the spiritual position, one will say they're material, therefore, then spiritual, being conscious, means getting rid of those three. No, it means using the real, the original mind, intelligence, the spiritual mind, intelligence, and identity. So that used together, that's the citta. So on the material platform, yes, people put all that together and then they get their emotions and feelings and everything like that. But you have to be able to switch it to the other side, because someone can have that emotion and all that, but they're very hard-hearted towards Krishna. You can have somebody who's very sentimental and likes to do things, very philanthropic and altruistic and all these things and cares and is into issues, but they really are not into to the Lord. So that would be, you know, so any softness and all that, that's on the mundane platform. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You want some?
No.
No? Let me give it a pass. Okay. 24267. Beeswax and butter become liquid from different degrees of heat from the sun. Nectar is naturally liquid. Right, because butter, it'll get hard, but then with a little heat, it gets soft. Beeswax, it's hard, and with a little bit more heat, it takes more heat to make it soft. Right, but nectar is always soft. It's just naturally soft. The hearts of the dearest devotees of Govinda are naturally soft like nectar. Srila Prabhupada. A soft heart is compared to honey, to butter, and to nectar. And the condition of the mind is compared to sunshine. As honey and butter become melted, even in slight sunshine, soft-hearted person become easily melted. Nectar, however, is by its nature always liquid. And the hearts of those who are in pure ecstatic love with Krishna are by nature always liquefied, just like nectar. Interesting, Prabhupada is saying here, the honey. Because that's the point. You have the beeswax, it's about the honey. Because that's what's in the there, because when you're going to do, the honey is going to naturally melt, right? Because honey will be solid,
yes.
Right? And then with a little bit of sun, then it melts, like that. So it's even taking it to another step further, because we're talking within the devotional now. So then even the honey becomes even more, because you get solid honey, it takes a little more heat than what do you call it, butter? Yeah. Srila Jiva Goswami. The hearts of the dearest devotees are naturally soft, dharavibhutam, and thus produce a great variety in vyavichari bhavas. Right, so you're going to get so much, because of that softness, they'll be so much more affected by all the various movements of the bhavas. 24268. The mind of some devotee may be constantly influenced by a mixture of two or three of the above conditions, such as garishta. Right? So that was the okay. Heavy, deep, and expansive. Okay. Garishta, Gambhir, and Mahishta are caused by having mixed motives in a relationship with Krishna. Lagishta, Uttana, and Kshodishta manifest by having no personal motives. Awareness of the greatness of Brahman produces hardness in the heart, Karkasha, awareness of sweetness of Krishna produces softness in heart. The appreciation of Krishna's sweetness and the soft heart produced in his devotees are causes of astonishing effects. This is explained in the commentary in the 10th canto of the following verse. Here is the Supreme Person, who is considered the impersonal Brahman by great sages, a most worshipable form by the Dasya Bhaktas, and the son of a human being by ordinary men. Now these boys, who have performed many, many pleasing activities in their past lives, are playing with that Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of cowherd boy. Srimad Bhagavatam 10, 12, 11. Right, so then, yeah. So this seems to be also some forms that are used. Now they're being explained in the one, in the comparison between how much one is connected to Krishna consciousness and how little one's connected. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the point of the nectar, then all these things you'll see wonderful manifestations. Mm-hmm. And if not, then in these other as these levels go back, then you'll see less and less manifestation. Because we're asking, you know, why am I experiencing static emotions? It will be because of this Garishta, Gambira, and Mahishta, right, and the hardness. So, to some degree, there is, but not very much because of these. But as then everything is just about Krishna, about pleasing Krishna, then there's no, the mixed motives go away, becomes pure, so therefore it takes on its more natural form. Yes. Does that make sense? But they can also be explained why while those who are advanced, they don't manifest the symptoms. Does that make sense? So the same things used, just like you have the we're taking Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. It has that concept, it has that, and we're applying it in one sense, like let's say in our practice and devotional service. You can also apply it to how business runs. You know what I'm saying? So now it's being applied to show more advanced, less advanced than how much they manifest. Srila Jiva Goswami. In the verse at hand, the minds of these devotees do not show variety caused by material gunas, such as sattva guna, but rather by various bhavas, gunaihi. These bhavas are of two types, prakrita, inferior, and bhagavata, exalted. The Kanishta devotees possess Prakriti Bhavas, and these become causes of Garishta, Gambira, and Mahishta. The devotees of the highest quality show Bhagavad Bhavas, because the possessing Bhavas caused by having hearts as soft as nectar, those devotees are extremely devoid of low qualities such as Garishta. Right? So basically we see is that, then we're saying is that that these it's always good to keep putting them. One always has to remember the aphorism Munda Sumanda Matayo. Okay, the heavy, the deep, and the expansive. So then in the, here it being defined, it's being seen in the context of those things that are being mixed in devotional service. And that, and so these will be manifest specifically in the neophyte devotee. Right? And so then within the hardness and all that, that will be there. Then the three levels of hardness. So then the thunderbolt, the gold, and the cotton. So it gets a little bit more. Then it goes down to the softness. Then it manifests the Prabhupada said, the honey and the butter. That will be the madhyama. The nectar, that will be the bhagavat, the uttama. Does that make sense? Because the madhyama is in between. There's bhagavat aspects, so therefore the softness. But there's still some of the prakriti aspects, therefore it's not nectar. But as we see is that he said the neophyte and then the bhagavat, and then he also mentioned about advanced, the softness is advanced. Mm-hmm. So Prabhupada mentioned the madhyama, nishta begins the advanced devotional service. Right? And so then the madhyama is advanced, then the anubhava bhakta is more advanced, and so on prema bhakta, that's the most advanced. Does that make sense? So you can say of advanced devotee, a madhyama is the neophyte within advanced, Right? The bhava is the madhyama with an advance, then the prema is the uttama in advance. Does that make sense? So there's this, it shifts over a little bit. It's the same principle, because you're always working with the same kind of principles. Why? Because it's always Krishna. Why? Because he's Sat Chit Ananda. So therefore, everything's in three. Does that make sense? In all cases, the amount of softness or melting of the heart depends on the strength of the Stai Bhava. In the list of thunderbolt, gold, and lack, mentioned in verse 263, lack is softness, gold is less soft, and thunderbolt is least soft. Thus, the amount of Stai Bhava will be least with the thunderbolt heart. And thus, disturbance or lack of disturbance from the Vyavachari Bhavas also depends on the strength of the Stai Bhava. Right, so the strength of it's there, so therefore you're going to see disturbance or not by the Vyavachari Bhavas. So as it mentions, like the Shanta Bhaktas, because of their absorption, austerities and all that, they get very, you'll see very minimal effect from these things. It doesn't mean that they're not absorbed in Krishna, it's just you won't get so much like that. But in all these cases, the case of being Garishta, Gambira, Mahishta, Lagishta, Uttana, and Kshodishta is the one natural bhava, strong or weak, and the causes of disturbance are various incidental bhavas. Right? So there's going to be the natural, and then there's going to be the incidental. So we see here is that this one set is being used to describe someone's advancement in devotional service, but it also describes those depending upon their position within devotional service. Situated in it, how it means it's going to have the strength of the Stai Bhava, but even within the Stai Bhava, it's going to have the nature of it. So if you don't have the natural Stai Bhava, it's a matter of how much you're working more towards I'm servant of Krishna. Right? And so therefore there's going to be these levels. At the same time, as someone who's situated in Stai Bhava, right, then it's also going to have various natures. Like you see, Shanta Bhaktas are, you're going to see less of these external symptoms being manifest. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense?
So Maharaj, it is for both. So you can say pure devotee and
sadhaka. Yeah. So both are being discussed at once.
Yes.
So, because we're dealing in a much more advanced place here.
Yes.
So then in the Samanya Bhakti,
yes,
then it'll be dealing with one thing with another thing like this and that. But you see, as you go, you should be able to deal with them together. Because, if we don't introduce it together, we'll work on it, get one in definition of the words, and then when they come used in another way, we'll go, no, it doesn't mean that.
Yes.
Like you remember, year before, so many of the terms, especially in the 9th canto and 11th canto, they were changing how they were being applied. You're broadening your understanding. So then so many times we had to stop and just discuss that the word can be used in various ways. No, but it means this. Yes, it means that in that context, but in this context it'd be used in this way. So if we can study them separately, you'll catch the one, you'll catch the other, but you won't be able to necessarily apply it. That's the importance, is the science. While here, you're learning it together.
Yes. Yes.
So then it makes it a little bit more difficult. But at the same time, you understand that you're using it in these various ways.
Yes.
There's only one William something to do with
it. Yeah. Might have helped. But more of a might, but... Yeah, then you could have, surrendered to Bhaktivinoda Thakur or something. Okay, footnote 16. This is restatement of verses 254 to 255. By this natural bhava, rati, attraction or love. Yeah, we don't need an is.
No.
Huh? Unless we put a B there also.
Is B appears.
Is B appears. Or done B appears.
Or done did it.
Done did it. Okay. Though Rati is one in speaking about it in general. Though Rati is one in speaking about it, generally it appears in various forms when wishing to describe its various qualities. Right? Because Rati is one thing. It's just a matter of how much you're doing. Like, someone has no Rati, but it's still the concept of Rati. Right? It's still working. How much attraction is there for Krishna? That's why it can be discussed, the one thing. And you're dealing with it according to their position is there, but you're also dealing with it in the advanced levels. Does that make sense? Just as white cloth appears red when red dye is applied to a cloth, the incidental bhavas become situated in the devotees by various causes and then become visible. Right? So the principle is that by the association of this various situations, then these bhavas come up. You know, one bhava is there, that generates another. You know, so the point is your vibhavas are going to generate. So the vibhavas can be other bhavas. Does that make sense? You know, somebody's happy, you know, then it can make you happy. Or it can make you very envious, why he's happy. He doesn't deserve to be happy, I deserve to be. You know, I mean, you can do so many things, but the point is emotions, you know, as a platform, can generate, therefore, experience. Right? So that's the point. Rati is right now, depending upon the hardness of the heart and the nature and the advancement in Rati, right? So if the heart is hard, is like a thunder, but you're advanced in Rati, then it, very deep you'll gain. But in other words, then it's not going to happen. You're just not really going to see it. Though you do see sometimes, like it's been said, that even you have the Mayavadis and others like this in contact with Krishna's name and qualities, then they may manifest devotional symptoms. But they're like a reflection or they're like a shadow. So it's just you have this range, is that because for we're looking at it, who's a devotee, who's not a devotee, right? But from the Uttama platform, who is not a one of Krishna's marginal potency, and they have their natural nature to serve Krishna. So therefore, if you're looking from there, then you're going to say, this soul is so covered that he's like this. He's like a thunderbolt. This one's less covered. He's like this, 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 this. So you're showing, going up that way. But you're also then showing how these are affecting. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.